Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we've got Jim Rogers back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, as you know, is a legendary investor. He founded the Quantum Fund as a very young man and made that an incredible success. Retired early and went about seeing the world. And then something else happened. Then he became a parent, and that changed his world again. And along the way, he's written a number of books. He's been very generous with his sharing his perspectives and his wisdom, his experience, and even his mistakes with us over the years. Many of you have heard him on television. You've read his books. You've read his articles. And you've heard him on this show before because he's been very, very generous to join us from time to time. He's back now. His new book is called A Gift to My Children, A Father's Lessons for Life and Investing. Jim Rogers, welcome back to the show.
I am delighted to be here, Jim. I'm very pleased to be here.
It's good to have you back. Now, I know that you spend most of your time in Asia, in Singapore, right?
Yes. My girl is in school in Singapore.
Right, and so, but you do still have homes here, and so you come back several weeks at least a year, and I know you're back in the United States now. Some people may have seen you on television recently. Welcome back to the United States.
Delighted to be here. My little girl gets 6 weeks off in November and December, so here we are. And you know, you said something very interesting a minute ago, that children change your life. Actually, life begins when you have children, if you ask me. So it's an amazing thing.
I'm glad you're having...
I think I said in the book, Jim, that I used to feel sorry for people who had children. I never wanted to have children. They were a terrible waste of time, money, and energy. I want you to know I was completely, totally wrong. Anybody listening to this show who hasn't had a child better get home and get on with it, because it's a lot of fun.
Well, I agree with you, and of course I'm already at the grandchild stage, and I'm having fun all over again, just like I did with them. Jim, I am glad that you have that experience and that you're enjoying it so much. I know the girls are benefiting from that very much. Jim, now that you're back in the United States, and I know you watch the global economy from wherever you are, but now that you've been here for a couple of weeks or so, what is your perspective? What is your take on where you think the U.S. economy is right now?
Well, the U.S. economy is better right now than it was in December of 2008. A little doubt about that in some parts of the economy. You know, the government has been shoveling huge amounts of money out, Jim, and the people who've been receiving that money think things are better. Think about the bankers. Think about Wall Street. They're much better off than they were a year ago because the government dumped billions of dollars on them. Other people, unfortunately, are not so much better off. And part of the reason is because, remember, when you give somebody a lot of money, it's got to come from somewhere, Jim.
Right.
And the people that the money's coming from don't feel so much better.
Well, it's either coming from resources that could have gone somewhere else, or it's coming from dollars that we pumped into the economy artificially, or that we had to borrow from somebody, and that's putting debt back on us, isn't it?
You either borrow it, you tax it, or you print it, and none of those are good for the long term of the country, and they're certainly not good for the people who suffer from that sort of thing.
Well, and we've done two of those three, and there are people talking about doing the third one, the tax thing, and that I don't think our politicians appreciate the negative impact.
It would be absolute insanity that you got an economy which is in trouble then to raise taxes. I mean, that's what they did in the 1930s, and it just made the things worse instead of better.
Right.
But you know, politicians are not very smart people, Jim. That's why they're politicians.
Well, I agree with you, and I just did a segment before you got here, Jim, on the three things that I think politicians, if they want to really help help us. They'll lower taxes, reduce regulations, and improve trade. Those are really the only three things that a politician can do. Get out of our way, lower our taxes, and improve our ability to trade. Those are the three things I think they can do to help us. What do you think?
Well, of course. I mean, there's no question about that. But unfortunately, a lot of people in D.C., a lot of lobbyists, Jim, as you know, who are down there saying, please scratch my back, please give me a little extra. And,
right.
And most people who have a business are too busy working.
Right.
Know, they don't have time to peddle themselves in Washington.
And that's the problem we've got on Main Street out here. Main Street, we've got so many small business owners that are just... You know, keep working. We keep our head down. We're focused on making payroll. We're focused on paying our bills and trying to grow our business. And we can't tap into that government money. And sometimes that creates a problem. That's something I want to ask Jim Rogers when we come back, folks. Is there an issue of Wall Street versus Main Street? Is that growing? Is that sentiment growing in America? 22, right after these messages. We'll be back with Jim Rogers. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Still having a great visit with our good friend Jim Rogers. His new book is called A Gift to My Children, A Father's Lessons for Life and Investing. Jim, tell us where we can find your book.
Well, you know, I came to parenthood late, Jim, and so I started writing down things I wanted my children to learn. And the next thing you know, it turned into a book, and now you can get it in any bookstore. You can get it online. You can get it just about anywhere, but it's full of my mistakes and some of my successes, hopefully to teach them some of the things that I wish I had somebody told me when I was a little boy.
Give us an example. While you're on that topic, give us an example of a mistake.
I could write a whole book about my mistakes. Well, I remember one of my earliest ones, the worst ones in the stock market. I was extremely successful in my first year or so. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Everybody else was failing, and I was making a pile of money. And I got too cocky. I thought I knew what I was doing. I stepped back and, you know, put everything to work in the market and lost it all in about 2 months.
Wow.
Because I really was overconfident. I was arrogant. I was hubris.
Mm-hmm.
And the world has a way of slapping kids like that in the face. And
In America, you can redeem yourself, can't you? When you do something like that.
Well, I did. I mean, I was shocked, but I had no choice. There was nobody to bail me out. So I had to... dig in, save some more money, and work harder. And, you know, I did learn lessons from it. I learned how little I knew about some aspects of investing, and fortunately, it taught me a lot.
Isn't that what's great about America, though, Jim? In America, you can fail and recover. You can redeem yourself. You can come back. It's not like that in every other country. In Europe, failure is pretty much a scarlet letter. If you go all the way down, and especially into bankruptcy in Europe, you don't come back from that very easily. In America, you can recover, can't you?
Oh, and many, many great successes in America where people have failed once or twice. In fact, when I speak to students, I always say, listen, guys, It's good to fail, but if you're going to fail, fail early.
Right.
It'll teach you a lot. It's better to lose 5,000 than 5 million. So
absolutely.
Make your mistakes early.
Right, well said. Speaking of investing, Jim, I mentioned this as we went to the break. Do you feel that there's a growing issue between Wall Street and Main Street?
Well, of course there is, Jim. Now, I made a lot of money on Wall Street, and I'm all for people making as much as they can when they deserve it on Wall Street or anywhere else. But I'm also for when somebody fails, that they fail, that I don't have to bail them out, and
right,
you don't have to bail them out, and the taxpayers don't. And what is outrageous to me is that all those guys who, when they were making money, they took it, and then when they failed, they expected us to bail them out. I mean,
right,
that's welfare for the rich. That is outrageous as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I agree with you, and as you may know, the top three banks on Wall Street, from what I understand, are paying $30 billion in bonuses this year.
No, I know. I also know that they paid billions of dollars in bonuses before, and then all of a sudden they expected us to bail them out. They should have gone bankrupt. They should have given some of that money back. It's just not fair that everybody, all of us who get up early, work out, go to work, and then
yep,
suddenly find ourselves with the government in our pocket to bail these guys out so they can keep their Lamborghinis.
What's the answer, Jim? How do we solve it? How do we prevent this from happening again?
Well, I hope. I mean, I don't want to see divisions in the country, but I hope that somebody wakes up and says, wait a minute, this is not right, and this, we're not going to do it again. I don't know any way to take it back now. You can't very well go to Merrill Lynch and say, okay, now you go bankrupt, because since we've already bailed them out, or Citibank or somebody.
Right.
We don't do it again. We certainly don't do it again, and not just in the financial community, anywhere.
Yeah. Another thing, Jim, one of the things I want to ask you, I don't think I've ever asked you this before. I've got a problem with the devotion to quarterly earnings and reports, quarterly guidance to analysts. I believe that is causing companies, major companies, publicly traded companies, to make decisions that are not good. They're good for the stock, but they're not good for the economy. What do you think?
Two aspects. One, you said quarterly guidance. I don't think they should tell the analysts anything. That's what the analysts are paid a lot of money to do, is to figure out what's going to happen. And if they have to call up a company and get led by the hand as to what's going to happen,
right.
Well, that's pretty outrageous. What are they doing if they can't figure it out on their own? So I would cut out quarterly guidance completely and let the chips fall where they may, and let companies run their businesses as businesses.
And
not devoted
to
29-year-olds on Wall Street.
Well, the thing is when they have to make a number by the end of a quarter. I don't understand how they can expect to run a multinational company or a multi-billion-dollar sales company being devoted to a quarterly report. I mean, I don't run my business quarterly. I look at it from an annual standpoint.
I would hope that nobody in America does. Unfortunately, you're right that this has crept in some aspects of the U.S. economy. As I say, I would cut out quarterly guidance. I wouldn't cut out quarterly reporting, but
yeah.
I would certainly cut out building up all these expectations.
I mean,
if you have a bad quarter, you know what's going to happen. Your stock's going to go down. So what? It's going to come right back as soon as you get back on track and do your long-term, you know, make your long-term goals and long-term achievements.
What do you think about 2010?
Well, the economy is going to be better in 2010 for some of the reasons we talked about earlier. I don't know about later in 2010. I worry about the fall, or maybe it's 2000. But we have not solved our problems, Jim. We've just papered them over. We've given some people a lot of money, and they think things are better, and that's spread some. But no, we haven't solved our problems. We're making them worse because we've added this staggering amount of debt, and that somewhere along the line is going to cost us all.
That's
next
what
time,
I want to. When
Jim, we run into economic problems or slowdown, the government has shot all its bullets.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything left to do next time around. What are they going to do next time? Quintuple the debt again? They're going to print even more money?
Hold on to that thought, Jim. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jim about that. What does he think about the stock market, and can it sustain itself? Tintel, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. We got lots of things you can do there to help you with your small business, smallbusinessadvocate.com, including the past interviews we've done with our guest today, Jim Rogers. He's been with us a few times before, and you can find those other interviews right there on our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jim's new book is called A Gift to My Children, A Father's Lessons for Life and Investing. You can find it wherever books are sold. Jim, is there any other website you'd like to tell us about?
No, I mean, you're begging. Buy my book from any website, Amazon,
right.
My website.
You have a blog, though, don't you?
I beg your pardon?
You have a blog, don't you?
No, I don't have it. Well, there are people who set up blogs in my name, but I have nothing to do with them. Apparently that's something that's going on in America now. You can take a stick to somebody's name and start a blog, start a blog, go to my
blog. Well, I guess that's the height of flattery, right? Jim,
it is flattery, but then it turns out there's not anything you can do as long as they don't say something that's false or anything.
Right. Jim, one of the things I want to ask you, the stock market seems to me, in my opinion, especially the Dow, seems to me to be based on earnings that are based only on cost cutting, that not on performance, and I don't understand how it's going to be sustainable into 2010. What do you think?
Well, it's, what it's based on is this gigantic wall of money that the government, the federal government, has flooded into the system. That money's got to go somewhere. And since the economy is not as strong as we would hope, a lot of it's gone into stocks. And it's happened many times in history, and you're right. Somewhere along the line, people are going to look around and say, okay, what happens next? And that's why I say later in 2010 or 2011, I'm worried about what might right. happen to the system.
Well, because that money's got to stop somewhere. I mean, we know that in the past when the government stopped spending on a war or something like that, a recession often followed, didn't it?
You know, many times it's happened throughout history, and I'm sure it's going to happen again this time too.
Another thing, Jim, that's going on right now.
Over our problems and not solving our problems.
There is a big powwow going on over in Copenhagen right now over the carbon, the global warming summer. I guess we should call it. What do you think about all these governments meeting over there talking about what to do about global warming? What are your thoughts on that?
Jim, they're wasting a lot of our time and money and energy and everything else. First of all, the facts seem to be that there's not global warming, you know. In Seattle, they had the coldest in 100 years or something. I was in the Middle East recently, and it snowed. It's so rare that they don't even have a word for snow in their language. I mean, so there are a lot of facts that are coming out that are showing, hey, this is not necessarily true. And we're also finding out, of course, that some people are now manipulating the facts. So,
right.
Weather's been changing for thousands of years. The scientists show us that all the time. So if something's happening, there's nothing these guys in Copenhagen can do to solve it except get out of the way. And, you know, the good Lord will take care of whatever he wants us to happen. If he wants the world to warm up for a while, he will. You remember in the 70s, Jim, we were all worried about global cooling and a new ice age?
Yep,
I
do.
These guys are nuts.
You know, Jim, it seems to me... And I've been saying this for 12 years, ever since I've been on the air. It seemed when we started talking about Kyoto, it seems to me that this global warming thing is nothing more than an attempt to make the United States less competitive with the rest of the world. What do you think?
Well, no, of course it is. I mean, we're the ones who are going to have to pay whatever they come up with. We're the ones that they're going to soak. And by the way, when I say we, I mean taxpayers.
Yep.
And it's more restrictions on us, which is going to make us less competitive in the rest of the world. I mean, Jim, I'm just stunned and appalled to see it happening, but it just seems to keep going on. You said for 12 years. Yeah, for 12 years.
Yeah.
And even when facts come out or somebody says it's not correct, you know, they get ignored by the press, which is just infuriating.
Jim, last thoughts on, we got about a minute. What's your advice to small business owners this year for 2010?
Well, buckle down. Don't get overextended, because I'm afraid that the next wave or slowdown, when it happens, whatever, it's 2011 or 12, the people who are not overextended are the ones who are going to then be in a position to take over from their competitors.
Yeah. Debt is not going to be your friend in the next 24 months, is it?
I'm not sure debt's going to be our friend at all.
Yeah.
Well, certainly not in the next 24 months.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
They start inflating debt away. And, of course, it'll be good to be in debt, but that's a very, very difficult judgment to make.
So right. That's a tough
meantime,
bet to make.
Careful.
Jim, thanks for being here. Hope you have a great holiday. Take care of those girls, and I hope you come back again real soon.
Same to you, Jim. Let's do it again.
Let's do it. Jim Rogers, ladies and gentlemen, the author of A Gift for My Children, A Father's Lessons for Life and Investing, is outstanding. I have my copy. I'm very happy to have it. So check that out whenever you get a chance. I'm going to have to go for this hour. I'll be back in the next hour after the news. In the meantime, I want to remind you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.